Guns of Navarone in the background right now. Daryl Brogdon is your host till 9 o'clock. Stay with us for Film Music Friday.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library, offering downloadable ebooks, audiobooks, streaming movies, and more, all available with a library card. Card information at lplks.org.
Rain coming this weekend. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-40s.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Republican nominee Donald Trump, during an interview with former Fox News host Tucker Carlson, called former Representative Liz Cheney a war hawk and says she should have rifles shooting at her to see how it feels for those sent into battle. Democratic nominee Kamala Harris today said Trump's remarks should disqualify him from the presidency. More from NPR's Maura Liasson.
She said on X, quote, "This is how dictators destroy free nations. They threaten those who speak against them with death. We cannot entrust our country and our freedom to a petty, vindictive, cruel, unstable man who wants to be a tyrant." But this is just the latest in a very long line of violent rhetoric from Trump. He said that there should be military tribunals for Obama and Hillary Clinton. He said the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, should be tried for treason. He also said Liz Cheney should be tried for treason.
Trump and his allies claim the comments were misconstrued, though during a stop in Michigan, Trump doubled down, referring to Cheney as a coward. Iranian officials say they intend to retaliate against Israel for an attack last weekend that took out several of Iran's air defense systems. More from NPR's Arzu Rezvani.
The deputy commander of Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps, Ali Fadavi, said Iran's response is definite, adding that Iran could destroy all that Israel possesses in, quote, one operation. Fadavi made these statements in an interview with Al Mayadeen, a pro-Iran Lebanese news channel aligned with Hezbollah. Israel and Iran have been attacking each other directly over the last 6 months, raising fears of an all-out war between the two countries. It's Iran's Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei who has ultimate authority to order strikes, and he faces a choice: to retaliate and risk further escalation, or stand down and risk looking weak to supporters inside Iran and regional allies. Arzu Rezvani, NPR News, Beirut.
Negotiators from more than 150 countries will meet later this month in an effort to finalize a global treaty to end plastic pollution. To meet that goal, the group of state attorneys general is pushing for limits on plastic manufacturing. But NPR's Michael Copley explains that approach has been a sticking point.
Plastic's made from fossil fuels, and the industry doesn't want limits on how much it can make. It says the solution is better recycling. But scientists and environmentalists say the world simply produces too much plastic to manage, and that recycling has never lived up to its promise. Attorneys general from New York, California, and 8 other states agree. They say in a letter to the State Department that cutting production of new plastic is essential to stem the flow of waste into the environment. A spokesperson for the White House Council on Environmental Quality didn't respond to a message seeking comment. Michael Copley, NPR News.
Employers are still adding jobs last month, though at a far slower pace than they've been in some time. The Labor Department, in its last major economic report ahead of the election, saying instead of the 100,000-plus jobs that were forecast, the economy added just 12,000. On Wall Street, the Dow fell 288, was up 288 points. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Indeed, designed to be an end-to-end hiring solution for businesses of all sizes to attract, interview, and hire candidates, all from one platform. Learn more at Indeed.com/NPR. It's your place to find NPR News. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR.
Stardate November 1st. To look at a modern calendar, you'd think the early Romans couldn't count very well. Today, for example, is the first day of November, the 11th month of the year. But the name November means the ninth month. The name is a holdover from the earliest Roman calendar, in which the year began with March. The start of the year was moved to January, a century before the time of Julius Caesar. He affirmed that order when he set up the basic calendar we use today. But the names of the months remain the same, even though some, like November, no longer made sense. In the modern calendar, November 1st is just another day, but to the ancient Celts, it marked the beginning of a new season and a new year. Summer ended on October 31st, when the cattle and the sheep were brought in from the pastures. Winter and the new year started the next day. That day was called Samhain. The Celts lit bonfires to help out the sun, which was growing colder and more feeble as the long nights of winter approached. Because it was like a crack in time, a dividing line between both seasons and years, Samhain was a time when the souls of the dead were thought to roam free. Families opened tombs to release friendly spirits and brought them food and other gifts. And people wore masks to hide themselves from evil spirits. Many of those ancient customs have been incorporated into the modern-day celebration of Halloween. We have sky-watching tips and much more about the universe in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin MacDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
That's music by Jerry Goldsmith for Patton, 1970, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. This, of course, is the film about General George Patton during World War II. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Welcome to Film Music Friday, where we celebrate the music of the movies every week. And tonight, we're hearing music from great war movies. The first war film was made in 1897 by the French director Georges Méliès. It was called Sea Fighting in Greece and was set during the Greco-Turkish War. Since then, there have been hundreds of war movies, and we'll sample just a few, including The Dam Busters, The Lost Patrol, and Bridge on the River Kwai. Next, it's a film from 1945, Objective Burma. This is based on events during the Burma campaign during the Second World War. Errol Flynn leads a group of American paratroopers who are tasked with destroying a Japanese radar station. Here's the music by Franz Waxman for Objective Burma on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
From Objective Burma, 1945, music by Franz Waxman. Bits of this score were later used in two other war movies, Up Periscope and PT-109. Still to come on KPR's Film Music Friday, we'll hear the famous march by Eric Coates, composed for the British film The Dam Busters, plus an early Max Steiner score for John Ford's The Lost Patrol. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Topeka's Noto Arts and Entertainment District, featuring a celebration of souls, Day of the Dead in southern Mexico, exploring the Dia de los Muertos holiday, traditions and origins, now till December 14th. Information at explorenoto.org. We're at war with the movies on tonight's Film Music Friday, and next, it's Manhunt, a 1941 thriller directed by Fritz Lang. Walter Pidgeon plays a British big game hunter who's stalking Adolf Hitler. Before he can pull the trigger, he's discovered, and from there, the hunter becomes the hunted. Music from Manhunt is by Alfred Newman, who had just begun a 20-year association with 20th Century Fox. Here is music for Manhunt on KPR. music for Manhunt, directed by Fritz Lang and featuring a score by Alfred Newman. You're on KPR's Film Music Friday. This was a somewhat controversial film in its day. At the time of its release, the United States had yet to enter the Second World War. American isolationists and Nazi sympathizers took issue with the film's strong anti-Nazi theme. Still to come on Film Music Friday, a British patrol lost in the Mesopotamian desert are slowly picked off by unseen Arab enemies. That's the plot of The Lost Patrol, featuring music by the great Max Steiner. Tomorrow morning on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Brian Jordan Alvarez, creator and star of the new FX comedy series English Teacher, discusses his role and plays Not My Job. We'll bring you the less stressful side of the week's news. That's on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me tomorrow morning at 10 on KPR. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Assistive Technology for Kansans, providing people with disabilities and health conditions access to technology to live, work, and play independently. More information at atk.ku.edu. From the University of Kansas, your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News, is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, online at kansaspublicradio.org. That's by Eric Coates, The March from the Dam Busters, a 1955 film about an attempt by the Royal Air Force to destroy a series of dams in Germany during World War II. That march is still a favorite with many military bands. It's Films About War this week on KPR's Film Music Friday. I'm Darryl Brogdon, and thank you for joining us. Later on, music from one of composer Ray Fun Williams' few film scores, Coastal Command, made in 1942. John Ford's 1934 film, The Lost Patrol, is set during the First World War. British patrol is lost in the deserts of present-day Iraq and is slowly being picked off by unseen Arab snipers. The scoring of feature films was still pretty new at this point, and originally Steiner was instructed just to compose music for the opening and closing titles. However, when it was previewed, it became clear this was missing one essential ingredient, music, and so Steiner went back and fashioned a complete score. Here's The Lost Patrol on KPR and Film Music Friday. That's part of the score for The Lost Patrol, 1934, composed by Max Steiner. Originally, there wasn't meant to be any music during this film, but after previews, the filmmakers realized the score was sorely needed, and Steiner only had 8 days to come up with the rest of the music. It's Film Music Friday on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Darryl Brogdon. News from NPR is just ahead at 8:01 tonight, followed by the second half of Film Music Friday. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the Topeka Symphony, presenting Puttin' on the Ritz with Rimsky-Korsakov's Procession of the Nobles and Grieg's Piano Concerto, performed by Cheung Park. Tomorrow, tickets at topekasymphony.org. Now from 1942 comes Coastal Command, a semi-documentary account of a Royal Air Force raid on a German convoy. All the actors in this film are actual RAF flyers. It also features a rare film score by composer Rafe Von Williams. He only provided music for a handful of movies, all but one made during the 1940s. Here's music for Coastal Command on KPR. Ray Fun Williams' colorful score for Coastal Command, 1942, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. As he occasionally did with his film scores, Vaughn Williams later created a concert version of music drawn from Coastal Command. This week on Film Music Friday, it's the music of classic war films. And coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we've got music from 633 Squadron, Destination Tokyo, and Bridge on the River Kwai. It's all ahead in the next hour, and I certainly hope you'll keep it right here on KPR. Hey, did you know there are a variety of ways to listen to Film Music Friday on demand? You can go to kansaspublicradio.org and click on Shows. With the KPR skill enabled on your Amazon smart speakers, anytime you say, play KPR, you can have the choice of streaming various shows on demand, including this one. And if you've got the KPR app on your smartphone, you'll find the show among the on-demand offerings, and you can stream it right to your smartphone. Details about all the ways to listen to KPR and Film Music Friday are available at our website, kansaspublicradio.org.
We are in the final stretch of this historic election season. Former President Trump and Vice President Harris are making their last big push before it all comes to a head on November 5th. I'm Scott Detrow. Join us for live special coverage of Election Night 2024 from NPR News. We will bring you the latest as the polls close and the vote totals roll in, with the context and analysis you need to stay informed.
NPR and Kansas Public Radio will have the latest election returns for you Tuesday nights, right here on KPR. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News. Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, 91.3, and KANQ Chanute, 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. KPR's Community Spotlight program values organizations that share our commitment to the arts, education, health, well-being, sustainability, and diversity of the areas we serve, and will highlight a nonprofit every month using KPR's airwaves. Find applications at kansaspublicradio.org. Stay tuned after the NPR News for the second hour. Up tonight's Film Music Friday, we've got music from Sahara, The Bridge on the River Kwai, Bar, and lots more. That's all coming up between 8 and 9 tonight. Support for news on KPR comes from the Lead Center, hosting comedian Louis Black in Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, the final tour. Tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available at lead.ku.edu.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. A lot of eyes will be on Pennsylvania on Election Day, one of the nation's most pivotal swing states. NPR's Windsor Johnson has been reaching out to voters there with 4 days left before they head to the polls.
Sarah Hutchins of Philadelphia County says she wants to see Vice President Kamala Harris become the first female president.
It's long overdue at this point, and I wish it wasn't even part of the discussion, because it's like, what does it matter? But it's like, it has to be.
Tammy Rigaway, a Republican from Allentown, says this will be her third time voting for Donald Trump.
I'm a Christian. I think that Donald Trump has all my values. I think he will help our world get back to being normal.
Alice Brawley is among the roughly 3% of voters who are still on the fence.
I have not decided how to vote, and I may not even vote because I'm not happy with the people running. How's that for an answer?
Windsor Johnston, NPR News.
A dual U.S.-Russian national living in New Jersey has pleaded guilty to acquiring sensitive dual-use electronics for Russia's military and spy services. The case is part of the Justice Department's efforts to target individuals illegally supporting Russia's war on Ukraine. NPR's Ryan Lucas has more.
Vadim Yermolenko pleaded guilty to multiple criminal counts, including conspiracy to violate U.S. export controls and conspiracy to commit bank fraud. According to court papers, Yermolenko worked with a network of individuals under the direction of Russia's intelligence services to obtain advanced electronic components for Russia's military. U.S. officials say some of the components Yermolenko helped acquire can be used in the development of nuclear and hypersonic weapons, as well as quantum computing. He faces up to 30 years in prison. The case was coordinated by a Justice Department task force focused on enforcing sweeping U.S. sanctions on Russia following the Kremlin's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
Open enrollment starts today on healthcare.gov, otherwise known as Obamacare. NPR's Selena Simmons-Duffin reports 21 million people have already enrolled.
This year, premiums are $10 or less per month for many people, and there are lots of plans to choose from. That's a big turnaround from the early years of healthcare.gov when there were few and expensive plans. As enrollment in the Affordable Care Act marketplaces has set new records during the Biden administration, the number of uninsured Americans has dropped dramatically. Secretary of Health and Human Services Javier Becerra tells NPR that after this year's open enrollment,
I have no doubt that we'll see another record set of Americans who have health care coverage.
Open enrollment runs from November 1st until at least January 15th for everywhere except Idaho, where enrollment starts and ends earlier. Selena Simmons-Duffin, NPR News.
Stocks wound out the session in positive territory today. The Dow was up 288 points. The Nasdaq rose 144 points. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Indeed, designed to be an end-to-end hiring solution for businesses of all sizes to attract, interview, and hire candidates, all from one platform. Learn more at Indeed.com/NPR. It's your place to find NPR News. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR.
Stardate November 1st. To look at a modern calendar, you'd think the early Romans couldn't count very well. Today, for example, is the first day of November, the 11th month of the year. But the name November means the ninth month. The name is a holdover from the earliest Roman calendar, in which the year began with March. The start of the year was moved to January, a century before the time of Julius Caesar. He affirmed that order when he set up the basic calendar we use today. But the names of the months remain the same, even though some, like November, no longer made sense. In the modern calendar, November 1st is just another day. But to the ancient Celts, it marked the beginning of a new season and a new year. Summer ended on October 31st, when the cattle and the sheep were brought in from the pastures. Winter and the new year started the next day. That day was called Samhain. The Celts lit bonfires to help out the sun, which was growing colder and more feeble as the long nights of winter approached. Because it was like a crack in time, a dividing line between both seasons and years, Samhain was a time when the souls of the dead were thought to roam free. Families opened tombs to release friendly spirits and brought them food and other gifts. And people wore masks to hide themselves from evil spirits. Many of those ancient customs have been incorporated into the modern-day celebration of Halloween. We have sky-watching tips and much more about the universe in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
That's music by Jerry Goldsmith for Patton, 1970, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. This, of course, is the film about General George Patton during World War II. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Welcome to Film Music Friday, where we celebrate the music of the movies every week. And tonight, we're hearing music from great war movies. The first war film was made in 1897 by the French director Georges Méliès. It was called Sea Fighting in Greece and was set during the Greco-Turkish War. Since then, there have been hundreds of war movies, and we'll sample just a few, including The Dam Busters, The Lost Patrol, and Bridge on the River Kwai. Next, it's a film from 1945, Objective Burma. This is based on events during the Burma campaign during the Second World War. Errol Flynn leads a group of American paratroopers who are tasked with destroying a Japanese radar station. Here's the music by Franz Waxman for Objective Burma on Kansas Public Radio. From Objective Burma, 1945, music by Franz Waxman. Bits of this score were later used in two other war movies, Up Periscope and PT-109. Still to come on KPR's Film Music Friday, we'll hear the famous march by Eric Coates, composed for the British film The Dam Busters, plus an early Max Steiner score for John Ford's The Lost Patrol. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Topeka's Noto Arts and Entertainment District, featuring a celebration of souls, Day of the Dead in southern Mexico, exploring the Dia de los Muertos holiday, traditions and origins, now till December 14th. Information at explorenoto.org. We're at war with the movies on tonight's Film Music Friday, and next, it's Manhunt, a 1941 thriller directed by Fritz Lang. Walter Pidgeon plays a British big game hunter who's stalking Adolf Hitler. Before he can pull the trigger, he's discovered, and from there, the hunter becomes the hunted. Music from Manhunt is by Alfred Newman, who had just begun a 20-year association with 20th Century Fox. Here is music for Manhunt on KPR. Music for Manhunt, directed by Fritz Lang and featuring a score by Alfred Newman, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. This was a somewhat controversial film in its day. At the time of its release, the United States had yet to enter the Second World War. American isolationists and Nazi sympathizers took issue with the film's strong anti-Nazi theme. Still to come on Film Music Friday, a British patrol lost in the Mesopotamian desert are slowly picked off by unseen Arab enemies. That's the plot of The Lost Patrol, featuring music by the great Max Steiner. Tomorrow morning on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Brian Jordan Alvarez, creator and star of the new FX comedy series English Teacher, discusses his role and plays Not My Job. We'll bring you the less stressful side of the week's news. That's on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me tomorrow morning at 10 on KPR. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from assistive technology for Kansans, providing people with disabilities and health conditions access to technology to live, work, and play independently. More information at atk.ku.edu. From the University of Kansas, your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, online at kansaspublicradio.org. That's by Eric Coates, The March from the Dam Busters, a 1955 film about an attempt by the Royal Air Force to destroy a series of dams in Germany during World War II. That march is still a favorite with many military bands. It's Films About War this week on KPR's Film Music Friday. I'm Daryl Brogdon, and thank you for joining us. Later on, music from one of composer Rafe Vaughan Williams' few film scores, Coastal Command, made in 1942. John Ford's 1934 film, The Lost Patrol, is set during the First World War. British patrol is lost in the deserts of present-day Iraq and is slowly being picked off by unseen Arab snipers. The scoring of feature films was still pretty new at this point, and originally Steiner was instructed just to compose music for the opening and closing titles. However, when it was previewed, it became clear this was missing one essential ingredient, music. And so Steiner went back and fashioned a complete score. Here's The Lost Patrol on KPR and Film Music Friday.
Thank you.
That's part of the score for The Lost Patrol, 1934, composed by Max Steiner. Originally, there wasn't meant to be any music during this film, but after previews, the filmmakers realized the score was sorely needed, and Steiner only had 8 days to come up with the rest of the music. It's Film Music Friday on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Darryl Brogdon. News from NPR is just ahead at 8:01 tonight, followed by the second half of Film Music Friday. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the Topeka Symphony, presenting Puttin' on the Ritz with Rimsky-Korsakov's Procession of the Nobles and Grieg's Piano Concerto, performed by Cheung Park. Tomorrow, tickets at topekasymphony.org. Now from 1942 comes Coastal Command, a semi-documentary account of a Royal Air Force raid on a German convoy. All the actors in this film are actual RAF flyers. It also features a rare film score by composer Rafe Vaughan Williams. He only provided music for a handful of movies, all but one made during the 1940s. Here's music for Coastal Command on KPR. Rayfun Williams' colorful score for Coastal Command, 1942, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. As he occasionally did with his film scores, Vaughn Williams later created a concert version of music drawn from Coastal Command. This week on Film Music Friday, it's the music of classic war films. And coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we've got music from 633 Squadron, Destination Tokyo, and Bridge on the River Kwai. It's all ahead in the next hour, and I certainly hope you'll keep it right here on KPR. Hey, did you know there are a variety of ways to listen to Film Music Friday on demand? You can go to kansaspublicradio.org and click on Shows. With the KPR skill enabled on your Amazon smart speakers, anytime you say, play KPR, you can have the choice of streaming various shows on demand, including this one. And if you've got the KPR app on your smartphone, you'll find the show among the on-demand offerings, and you can stream it right to your smartphone. Details about all the ways to listen to KPR and Film Music Friday are available at our website, kansaspublicradio.org.
We are in the final stretch of this historic election season. Former President Trump and Vice President Harris are making their last big push before it all comes to a head on November 5th. I'm Scott Detrow. Join us for live special coverage of Election Night 2024 from NPR News. We will bring you the latest as the polls close and the vote totals roll in, with the context and analysis you need to stay informed.
NPR and Kansas Public Radio will have the latest election returns for you Tuesday nights, right here on KPR. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News. Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, 91.3, and KANQ Chanute, 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. KPR's Community Spotlight program values organizations that share our commitment to the arts, education, health, well-being, sustainability, and diversity of the areas we serve, and will highlight a nonprofit every month using KPR's airwaves. Find applications at kansaspublicradio.org. Stay tuned after the NPR News for the second hour. Up tonight's Film Music Friday, we've got music from Sahara, The Bridge on the River Kwai, A Bridge Too Far, and lots more. That's all coming up between 8 and 9 tonight. For news on KPR comes from the Lead Center, hosting comedian Lewis Black in Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, the final tour. Tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available at lead.ku.edu.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump are both campaigning in the Milwaukee area tonight. But as NPR's Tamara Keith explains, Harris also went to less populated areas.
The Harris campaign is trying to run up the score in big cities and college towns, but also trying to lose by less in more rural areas of this key swing state. Harris visited a raucous rally in the high school gym in the town of Little Chute.
Because you see, unlike Donald Trump, I don't believe that people who disagree with me are the enemy. He wants to put them in jail. I'll give them a seat at the table.
Trump won this county in 2020, and there were Trump supporters waving flags and signs outside, but also a huge line of Harris supporters who couldn't get into the overstuffed gym. Tamara Keith, NPR News, traveling with the vice president.
Intelligence officials say a video purported to show a group of Haitians illegally voting in Georgia was manufactured by Russian influence actors. Sam Greenglass of member station WABE has the story.
The intelligence community says the video is part of Russia's broader effort to raise unfounded questions about the election and stoke divisions. Disinformation expert Nina Jankowicz says social media platforms are less equipped or willing to take action than in the past.
Trust and safety teams have been decimated, and the folks that are still there are doing really yeoman's work, but it is like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet hole.
The video was amplified by some Georgia supporters of former President Donald Trump. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, who quickly debunked the video, wrote in a statement that, quote, "We can't let our enemies use lies to divide us." For NPR News, I'm Sam Greenglass in Atlanta.
Israeli airstrikes continue to kill and injure dozens of Palestinians across Gaza. That's according to the Gaza Health Ministry. The Israeli military says it is battling Hamas fighters. NPR's Hadil Al-Shalchi reports the military's intensifying its assault on Gaza.
Women wailed at the Nusayrat refugee camp in central Gaza as they searched desperately for their loved ones. Rescue teams were clearing rubble to reach Palestinians stuck under the damage after a deadly Israeli airstrike hit the camp. The Israeli military did not immediately comment on the incident. NPR's Gaza producer Enes Baba spoke to Ramil Habil, who lost his wife in the attack. There were no wanted men in the room she was killed in at all. She was innocent, he said. Aid groups are warning that very little aid, including medical supplies to treat the wounded, is reaching Gaza. Hadil Al-Shalchi, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Stocks wound out the session in positive territory today. U.S. financial markets largely shrugging off weaker than expected October jobs numbers. The Dow was up 288 points. You're listening to NPR. Tesla and SpaceX CEO Elon Musk has lost his bid to move the case involving his $1 million-at-a-time giveaways to voters to federal court, a judge denying Musk's bid to move the case out of Pennsylvania state court. Musk has been giving $1 million checks to randomly selected registered voters who signed a petition supporting free speech and gun rights. Philadelphia's Democratic Attorney General Lawrence Krasner sued Musk and his political action committee, calling the program an illegal lottery. Downtown Los Angeles was packed today as the city celebrated the Dodgers World Series win against the New York Yankees. It was the Dodgers' eighth World Series win overall. NPR's Kelly McEvers has more.
Dodger fans haven't had a World Series parade since 1988. They won the World Series in 2020, but because of COVID, there was no parade. Daniel Rodriguez says that's what made this parade special.
I know we won in 2020. It felt good, I loved it, but we didn't get to do all this, you know?
LA officials estimated 200,000 people attended this parade. The team ended the celebration at Dodger Stadium. LA Mayor Karen Bass said she'll be mailing a Dodgers jersey to New York City Mayor Eric Adams as part of a bet she won. Kelly McEvers, NPR News, Los Angeles.
Device maker Apple appears to have broken its summer of iPhone sales slumps in a recent sign of demand picking up. The company says iPhone sales rose 6% from the same period a year ago for the July through September quarter to $46.2 billion. That reverses two consecutive year-over-year declines in iPhone sales. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Progressive Insurance, working to help protect small businesses and the owners that run them, offering customizable coverages to salons, accounting firms, tradespeople, and more. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com.
guest Emmett Cohen on KPR, a little tune simply called Emmett's Blues, opening tonight's Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio. It's from the new album, Vibe Provider, by Emmett Cohen, heard there with bassist Philip Norris and drummer Mr. Joe Farnsworth. I'm Bob McWilliams. Welcome to Jazz in the Night on this first evening of November. In about 10 minutes, we'll hear the wonderful young singer Samara Joy with You Stepped Out of a Dream, which is from her new album. And up next, it's Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers and an album called Africaine. This was recorded November 1959, but it was not issued by Blue Note for 20 years, even though the music is terrific. It was the first recording of the band with Lee Morgan and Wayne Shorter playing in the band as trumpet and tenor sax. And Alfred Lyon, evidently who ran Blue Note Records, found the music on the album to be a little more progressive than he was used to. Maybe he wanted another bluesy hit like Moanin', and he kind of went, and he just didn't issue it. Well, a few months later, he did issue another album that had the tune I'm about to hear on, and everything seemed fine, but the music of Wayne Shorter, who wrote some of the tunes in this album, a little hard for Alfred Lyon to take in at first. This is one of the great songs, tunes written by Wayne Shorter. It's very first recording. It's called Lester Left Town, Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers.
Thank you.
Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. And the Wayne Shorter composition, Lester Left Town, included in the 1959 debut recording of this band for Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers with both Lee Morgan and Wayne Shorter, but not released until 1979. And so glad it finally saw the light of day. Really fine album. After Kane, the album, Lee Morgan, trumpet, Wayne Shorter, tenor sax, Walter Davis Jr. at the piano, Jimmy Merritt bass, and the drummer Art Blakey for you here on KPR's Jazz in the Night with young singer Samara Joy, a song from her new release up next. And after that, we'll hear from a new one by trombonist Steve Davis playing a great tune written by trumpeter Freddie Hubbard. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from Blue Collar Press, located in Lawrence, Kansas. Blue Collar Press helps businesses and creatives build their brand through merchandising, from design to production to fulfillment. More information at bluecollarpress.com. Here's Samara Joy on KPR.
You stepped out of a dream. You are too wonderful to be what you seem. The eyes like yours, could there be lips like yours? Could there be smiles like yours, honest and truly? You stepped out of a cloud, and I wanna take you away from the crowd and have you all to myself.
Save in my heart.
Samara Joy, her new album Portrait, and You Stepped Out of a Dream, here on KPR's Jazz in the Night. I'm Bob McWilliams. Thanks for joining me this evening. New music from trombonist Steve Davis is up next. A little bit later, guitarist Kyle Ash in an organ combo setting. We're here and we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, online at kansaspublicradio.org. Trombonist Steve Davis's new album is called We See, recorded just a year and 3 nights ago at Smoke Jazz Club in New York City. And what a band, the Steve Davis Sextet, with Eddie Henderson on trumpet and Ralph Moore tenor sax, Steve playing the trombone, bassist Essiet, drummer Louis Nash, Rini Rostas piano. What a terrific lineup that is, and terrific music, including their version of the Freddie Hubbard tune, Up Jumped Spring, here on KPR. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. What a wonderful audience to play for. Thank you for coming out to Smoke, Jazz, and Supper Club.
That was the voice of trombonist Steve Davis at Smoke Jazz Club just over a year ago. And we heard his sextet in this live recording playing Freddie Hubbard's wonderful jazz waltz called Up Jump Spring. The brand new release called We See on Smoke Sessions Records. Dr. Eddie Henderson playing the trumpet and Ralph Moore on tenor saxophone. Renee Rosnes at the piano. Essiet on bass. Louis Nash as the drummer. Trombonist Steve Davis. Really fine new outing indeed. We've got a fine new one from trumpeter Brian Lynch in just a bit. And we'll hear some guitar from Kyle Ashe next here on Jazz in the Night. So great to have you with me tonight. I sure do appreciate it, as I always do when you join me. Now tomorrow, on the new edition of 105 Live, we've got a live session at the Bottleneck in Lawrence with musical connections to Salina, Lindsborg, and Lawrence. The Draper Family Band features three generations of musicians and the father-son duo of Kansas Music Hall of Fame's Paul Draper and Brandon Draper. Join Nick Carswell for an in-studio conversation and live tracks on 105 Live tomorrow at 5 p.m. Guitarist Kyle Ashe with the organist Pete Benson, drummer George Flutis, the album from 2020 called Five Down Blues, and a tune written by Harold Land called Delirium on KPR. Thank you. guitarist Kyle Asch. Wonderful tune by Harold Land, who was a saxophonist with Clifford Brown and Max Roach back in the 50s. Harold Land wrote it, called Delirium. Kyle Asch plays it with Pete Benson on organ, George Flutist drums, the new album. Not the new album, the 2020 album called Five Down Blues. New music from bassist Luke Selleck in a bit. New music from Brian Lynch up next. Now, this is an extraordinary project, and Brian kind of conceived of the idea and then wrote all the music during pandemic isolation. The album is called 7x7x7. There are seven compositions. They're all played by a septet, seven, and they're all 7 minute long. And it gets even more complicated because every tune refers to an interval that's 7 years difference in Brian Lynch's life. Like the first one is referring back when he's like 21 and stuff like that. And this is one that reflects when he was 32, 7x5, or I guess 35 makes more sense, doesn't it, than 32. It's called High Point of the Hang, when Brian was touring constantly, playing in all the styles with all the greats. High Point of the Hang, Brian Lynch, new album 7x7x7 on KPR.
Thank you.
Brian Lynch and his composition called High Point of the Hang from his new album 7x7x7. Seven musicians, Brian on trumpet, Craig Handy, tenor sax, guitarist Alex Wentz, pianist Luis Perdomo, bassist Boris Konsloff, drummer Kyle Swan, percussionist Murph Alcomp. With music, new music from bassist Luke Selleck. Next, support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about possibilities of a KU education online at ku.edu.
Thank you.
The piece called Moving On, written by bassist Luke Selleck. It's on his brand new album, Discovery, that has sax player Jordan Pate and guitarist Andrew Renfro, keyboard work from David Lenard and drummer Jimmy McBride, for you here on Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio.
Late nights at the Green Lady Lounge, you'll often find the funky jazz of the Reyes Brothers Organ Trio. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Join us this week for the Reyes Brothers Organ Trio, live at Green Lady Lounge, Saturday at 6 p.m. on KPR.
We're here, and we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, 91.3, KANQ Chanute, 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from the Yoga Center of Lawrence, providing Iyengar, core restoring inflow, and pranayama instruction in a light-filled studio. Classes available all week. Schedule and registration info at yogacenteroflawrence.org. Right after the news, we'll hear from the brand new album by KU alum,